one another with these words. And he repeated that with our memory verse this week, chapter 5. So again, we'll take a look at it. We'll go into a journey, take a look at some of these texts, some of the arguments, some of the views about when will the Lord come? And when he comes, what will happen? Are there any signs? Are there any markers that we could know? Right, so we'll begin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I don't know if I'm going to do this here or here, but we'll see how it works out. The rapture and the second coming. So let me see my... So here again, we ask some questions. Christ will return to earth to establish his kingdom. So these are some of the assumptions. So we know, at least we assume, and we will see if our assumptions are correct, but Christ will return to earth to establish his kingdom. So this will be directly, personally, and bodily. So not just spiritually reigning from heaven. So, and in Jerusalem, so a very specific place. So this future reign of Christ corresponds to the kingdom promised to Israel in the Old Testament. His kingdom will last for 1,000 years, and therefore we know this called the millennium. So millennium, the history, moves towards that millennium. All history. Christ's kingdom on earth will be the culmination of human history. So those are our assumptions, and of course we have our statement of faith, and we include some of these in our statement of faith. So what do we believe? So I took it out directly from our statement of faith, that section that says God is now calling out the Gentiles, a people for his name, and this will be his work and our responsibility until the full number of the Gentiles are saved. The next great event in prophecy will be the Lord's coming in the air for his own to catch away his bride. So, and that's the last statement. We believe the blessed hope, which we call the rapture, is imminent and will be pre-tribulational. So what does that mean? Okay, that is, it will precede the tribulation period. So again, we go back to the question, when is tribulation? When will it start? Are there any signs? Are there any markers? Not only that, we believe that the Lord Jesus will come with his own at the end of 7-year tribulation. So we know here, that look at 7-year tribulation, bringing to the close the times of the Gentiles. So in other words, there are a number of Gentiles, the Lord knows how many, that will be saved, and at the end of that, he will again deal with his people, and we will see that in Daniel. So, after Christ comes with his own in the clouds with great power and glory, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. The Lord Jesus Christ will then judge the nations according to their treatment of Israel and will begin to lift the curse which now rests on the whole creation. The Lord will restore Israel to her own land. Remember the promises to Abraham. And so allow Israel to realize God's covenant blessings, bring the whole world to the knowledge of God, and establish the millennium, the Lord's righteous reign upon earth for 1,000 years. So, rapture and second coming. So what do we find in the prophecies and the events in human history? So when you look at the Bible, it's not detached from history, true history. But then we don't see everything or we have everything now. There are a lot of things in the future. But then we can look back and see what happened and see the prophecies, but then we have to fill in some of these. So that's the thing, that's our job that we want to see from the scripture and from the actual history. So if it was fulfilled literally, and that's the strength of our hermeneutics when we interpret the scripture, especially prophecies, because they were literally fulfilled. And if that's the case, then we should be confident, like what Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, that we should be confident also that we have a hope. We have a blessed hope. If it's literally fulfilled, it must be literally fulfilled also in the future. So, are there markers or signs that point us when these things happened or would happen? But are there events in God's program that will begin without giving any sign? That's another thing, right? Are there prophecies, on the other hand, that will not have signs? But then we'll know when it happens. So, Daniel 70th week. So, we'll go to this one here. What do we find in Daniel 9, 24 to 27? So, in Daniel 9, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. In verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. What is 60? Score is 20, right? So 320 is 60 and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And our last verse in this text, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So in this case, the question we have to ask is, what is a week? Seven. You actually use seven, right? So then the question is this 7 days? Is this seven what? So how do we know that? What do you think? How do we know if this 7? Yes, Mr. McGregor. We got to look at that context, right? Also, we can test it. If it's 7 days, then when did this happen? This is Daniel's time when the prophecy came and they said, this will be, and there is a marker in this one. Because it's saying there is a decree that will happen. So at least in Daniel's time, this is future. And so there is a marker that is given to Daniel. This will happen in such a way. And so 70 weeks, we can test that because weeks can be used in this case, weeks of years. And I think that's what it's saying because 70 sevens or 70 week, a group of seven, so a week equals a group of seven or heptads, these are weeks of years and we shall see this later. The 70 weeks pertain to not everybody. So this again, when we look at the prophecy, we have to determine, I'll put up another question, right? Are we dispensationalists? And what does that mean? Okay, so in short, for now, we believe that Israel is not the church. Israel is Israel. The promises to Israel are for Israel. And not for the church. And the promises to the church is different. It's not for Israel. And I think we'll see that. And you say, well, how do we know that that is right? Well, again, we got to look at the context. We have to put this together. So it's called methodology, right? We have some kind of method to systematize this. In other words, we got to put this together. So, but systematic theology is not, it's not the scripture. But we use that method to come to a better conclusion. We cannot be perfect in our theology. There's just no way. We're all sinful. We have limitations. God did not reveal everything. But I think he revealed enough for us to understand what would happen, what is happening now, and what would happen in the future. And so 70 weeks pertains to not everybody. It pertains specifically to Daniel's people. And Daniel's people are the Jewish people, the Israel, and specific location. So whatever the future Daniel is talking about, whatever this 70-week program God has to do with Daniel's people and the holy city of Jerusalem. In verse 24, it says, to anoint the most holy implies the Messiah will establish his millennial kingdom at the end of the 70th week. So we will see all these weeks come together. So what does this mean? 70 weeks are designed to prepare Israel for the coming kingdom of Messiah. At the completion of the 70th week, then that's where we'll see God, Christ, reign on earth bodily in Jerusalem. That's the beginning, and that's another marker, is when he comes again. Upon his return, he will establish his kingdom. And so we have another marker. This week, or these weeks, involve specific periods, like I said, and are marked off by specific events. What does this not about? And I said it's not about the church or church saints. So again, these are just preliminaries, and we will come back to that and see why our conclusion is such. All right, so Daniel 9:25. This time, here is the first time marker. So what is this? This is the decree to restore and to basically rebuild Jerusalem. Jerusalem is already built, right? But it was in ruin. And so this decree in recorded history, remember, that's why our scripture is speaking not only of God and the future, but speaking of what happened. In history, these were fulfilled. One of these prophecies were the decree recorded in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, let's read that. Nehemiah. So chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. So it says that, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I send him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter also, as a, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which pertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. In verse 17, it says, Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. This happened in March 5, 444 BC. So the date of the decree, we know it was marked. So in our history, Daniel 9, verse 25 was fulfilled. And from the decree until the Messiah, and this is on verse 25, so we know the Messiah, the Prince, is the Lord Jesus Christ in context. So from that decree to the Messiah, the Prince, are 7 weeks plus 62 weeks for a total of 69 weeks. So let's step back. If this is weeks of days, what would you say? It could not be, right? Because when did that happen? 444 B.C., so we, even in our history, human history, know that it could not be weeks of days. It must have been, and the Jewish people think of that. Oh, how many days in a week? 7 days, okay? So on their Sabbath, so when they have the special, the Jubilee, so they think by sevens. So we are used to thinking by tens. Okay, we used to think the decades, but the Jewish reckoning, the Jewish people tend to think by sevens, 70 years, 7 years. So 7 weeks probably marked the completion of the building. That we're not sure, but the 7 weeks most likely takes a lot of time to remove the debris and everything else. The weeks would probably, again, be weeks of Jewish years. And the weeks of Jewish years are 360 days a year. In other words, 30 days every month. Our calendar is different, right? We're Gregorian calendar. How many days in a year for us? 365, and then we adjust. And then we adjust because there's one quarter. So, 69 weeks. Again, what is the marker? The marker is when the decree, we find that in history, we find it in Nehemiah in 444 BC. March 5th, 69 weeks later, 483 years, ended on March 30th, 33 AD. This date was the Sunday before the Passover. So think of that. The prophecy is saying 70 weeks. But however, the 69 weeks is when you will see the Messiah, the Prince. So let's look at some calculation of that 70 weeks, a Jewish calendar. 360 days. So it's straightforward, right? Every month, 30 days. So that's the 7 weeks and 62. Will give us 483 years times 360. The mathematicians here, right? So 173,880 days. Now we say, what about our calendar? Well, let's take a look at our calendar. Gregorian calendar, 365 days per week and some adjustment. So in that case, 444 to 33 AD is 476 years. Okay? Just a reminder, there's no 0 BC, right? Or AD. There's no 0. It goes to 1. So that 476 years times 365 days is 173,740 days. But we have to make adjustments. In our leap year, calculating, there are 116 days for the leap years. So plus 116. And from March 5th to March 30th is another 24 days. And in the end, what is the date? It is the Sunday, the Passover. Passover Sunday. Or is that Palm Sunday, I should say. So 173,880 days. This is the prophecy that we see. And this is the thing that happened in history. So God knew exactly, and sometimes gives us those markers. Now, here is the question. If 69 weeks have been accomplished, there is 1 week to go. And in Jewish thinking, it is chronological. It is straight. It means there is no gap. But the question is there a gap in the prophecy? And how do we know that? After 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off? 69 weeks, again, reminder, ends on Palm Sunday. The Messiah would be cut off or be killed. Remember the end date? March 30th, 33 AD, after the 69th week. But here it is. But before the beginning of the 70th week. Jerusalem would be destroyed again after the 69th week. But before the 70th week. However, here's the thing. When we look at through history, when did that happen? When did Jerusalem get sacked, get destroyed? 70 AD. By whom? By the Romans, right? Titus. So the Romans, in other words, the Romans, I think even Christ prophesied that. Said, hey, not even one stone will be standing. So here's the thing. If that happened, would that be that week? That 70th week? And it could not be. It could not be. It cannot be if there is no gap. That's why there must be a necessary gap. In this case, because the Messiah was cut off. So the Jewish people are looking at the prophecy. When he comes, he would reign on earth. In other words, it would have been a millennium. And so now when we look at the New Testament, we see why some of the Jewish people are expecting him to become king and save them. You know? May I sit on your right hand when you're in your kingdom? You know, even when he resurrected, that was their question. Their question was, when will you establish the kingdom? Why? Because they did not see this. They did not see the gap. Let's see. Daniel 9:26 requires a gap. How long this gap lasts, we do not know. Time of the Gentiles. Exactly. That's the one we read. Okay, and that is the gap we are living in. We are in the gap. So we don't know. So from that to Daniel 9:27, it says, the he, now there's more prophecy, does not refer to the Messiah, but the prince that shall come. The prince's people were the ones who destroyed the city and sanctuary in AD 70. And that did not happen, you know, before or the 70th week. The Romans did. That's why we know who the prince that will come. So if the Romans were the people of the prince, that's why our understanding in the future, when this prince will make a treaty with Israel, that's why our understanding is, must be some person related to the old Roman Empire. So it's a Western European confederacy. So this prince is not the one who destroyed it. The people of the prince destroyed it. And so when the prince will come, he will come. And when will he come? Take a look. The 70th week. What will be the 70th week marker? Do we have a marker? I think we have another marker. In this case, it will begin with a covenant or treaty between the head of state and the many. So this ruler will come, he will have a covenant with the many, which is the national Israel. This will include the rebuilding of the temple and reinstitution of sacrificial system. So when we read that Daniel, the passages, then we know at one point that that temple will be rebuilt and that Levitical sacrificial system will exist again. The treaty will be broken, however, halfway by the prince himself, by this ruler. He will break it. And so here it is. Made a covenant, peaceful. And that peaceful covenant will be broken halfway. This will be characterized by abomination and desolation until the end. Any thoughts so far? Go ahead, Sir Frenchie.
One quick question about the flood from verse
26. Okay. Yes. So it will not be destroyed by flood anymore. Not a universal flood. But you see, this is probably the pains and all that things that will happen in the tribulation period. Right? So, let's look at it. Right? So here it is. Here are the markers that we know. And so we know this 7 years. This is the last week. And it is divided into half. So we got 3.5 years. 42 months or 1,260 days. Again, this is Jewish reckoning. So we see that when they count the weeks or by sevens. And so the covenant will begin this 70th week. And halfway week will be the abomination of desolation when he breaks the covenant and then takes away again the sacrifices. And the last marker on that 70th week is the second coming of Christ. So we read our what we believe, and we believe on the second coming of Christ. Now, the idea here is the fundamentals of the faith is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come again. He will return. Okay? What is not fundamental is when will he return? Some people say he will return before that or during or after the tribulation. Right? So if you hold to a different view, that's okay, right? But as long as you hold that he is coming again, that is what our hope is. Now, these 3.5 years, 42 months can be found in Daniel and Revelation. So in Daniel, it says a time, times, and a half a time. So points to 3.5. Revelation talks about directly 42 months and 1,260 days. Okay, so those are just references in there. So what do we see? Prophetic outline. So history will see the past. 69 weeks. The marker is Nehemiah. They rebuild it in 444 BC. But then it says that 69 weeks will culminate on another marker when the Messiah will be cut off. In other words, that's when he was crucified. So we come to the present. This is where we live. So beginning from that, we call church age, and then the future holds to events. So the future holds the tribulation, and then the millennium to follow. So that case, we can see the tribulation is the last week that Daniel talks about, or the 70th week. So when will the rapture take place? We read this verse. I'm not going to read it again. The rapture will take place. Is there any sign that the rapture will happen or before the rapture happens? Not that we can see, right? We'll see that. When we know the last Gentile? Well, what if God... Yeah, so or we don't know if the last Gentile is saved and there's a sign that God will show. Right? Go ahead, Cliffman. Yes, there are. So there are, we call tribulation saints, right? And we know that in the Revelation they were asking the Lord, right? When are you going to judge them? So, yes, sir. So there are some things that, again, we keep in mind. If you just quick review, right? These times when we look at, not the rapture, but the times when we look at the tribulation period that Daniel's talking about, the 70th week is for Daniel's people and the holy city. And again, there are lots more verses here that we can see that. So we're not just saying it. We will look at all our texts. So what? When does it occur, the rapture? So here it is. You got your present age. You got 70th week tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, and then the Messianic kingdom. All right, some views hold that rapture will happen when? In our case, when do we believe that it will happen? Before that 70th week, right? So we will test our belief, right? We will test it by looking at other views. And then that's the thing. We got to know the other views so we know what they are looking at. We're looking at the same texts. We're looking at the same text. So it's good for us to see what angle they're looking at or how they look at these different texts in the scripture. But we know the present age. It's the church age. And so if you have another view that church replaced Israel, okay, there's a lot of problem on that view. Okay, so there's a lot of problems on that view. One problem is, did God promise Abraham, and then he fulfilled it, not with Abraham and his descendants? There's a lot more problems with that. Not only the text, but is God then not truthful in a way? Something to think about. So what are the views? So these are the views, right? Rapture. So pre-tribulationism means that, let me go back. Yep, about right here. Before that begins, rapture is only caught up, right? So we'll meet the Lord in the air. Mid-tribulationism, somewhere in the middle. So in other words, it will begin, and you will experience the tribulation. And then in the middle of it, well, because on the first 3.5 weeks, what would happen? And there's really peace, or we say false peace, or it will not last. Whatever peace that is, that the ruler, the prince, have agreed upon with the nation Israel, that will start. Remember, until the middle of that week. So there are those that will say, yep, mid-tribulation. If you find some misspelling there, I apologize. My grandson was playing with me when I was typing. I'll blame him. I'll blame Liam. Pre-wrath rapture. Now, there is a view that we also will go to tribulation. So, really, all these last three views will have the Christians go through the tribulation also. Just a matter of when God will take them out or catch them. or rapture them. So mid-tribulation, they say yes, because the great tribulation is the last half. Therefore, really you're not going through that great tribulation. Pre-wrath has some idea that only the last like a quarter will be bad. And so before that, you will be raptured. Then the post-tribulationism means that you'll go through the whole period. Somehow God will protect you. But at the end, you'll be raptured by God. So what do we know concerning our methodology? It's what Dr. Bowder said, right? Some people expect airtight exegesis and bulletproof theology. We almost never get that. That's why I said, there's no perfect system. It's a system. It allows us to understand, put things together. But you cannot say it's error-free or problem-free, I should say. Your exegesis and theology don't have to be problem-free. It doesn't have to, because you can't. We cannot. They just have to be better than the alternative. So when we look at these things, yes, sir? The way to read and interpret the scripture. That's all it is. Right? So the way you read it and interpret, remember I said, you know, two people can look at the same text and come up with two different interpretations. That's all it is. So any one of these then doesn't have a problem-free theology, okay? Again, they just have to be better than the alternatives. So it is like the story of the two men running from the bear, okay? You don't have to run faster than the bear. You just have to run faster than the other man. Okay? Say, hey, we can't outrun this bear. Yeah, but I can outrun you. It's not perfect, but that's what we are going to look at. So among these views, what's the one with least problem, or at least problem that cannot be resolved? All right, so pre-trib. When we look at our pre-trib, church age, that's the gap. That's where we live in. Daniel requires a gap, necessary gap, because things happened that did not follow the 69th week. It did not. Christ did not reign, a Messiah. It would have been millennium. It would have been judgment right there. 70 AD, way, way past 33 AD. Did not happen immediately. It cannot be. That must have been the gap. So Christ's return, as we believe, this is what we believe, is notice the second coming of Christ or the rapture of the church. And we believe that, and we will discuss this, really when you say second coming of Christ, really there's an aspect of he will come and reign on earth is part of that second coming of Christ. So we will discuss that further. But for now, the tribulation period, that's the 70th week. So what is the marker? We know the marker is the rapture. But do all the views look at that as a marker? Not necessarily. So that's what we want to discuss here. But then the second coming of Christ is 7 years later. But we believe the rapture will not happen then. The rapture would have been before the tribulation. Then millennium will start. What was that? Pre-wrath? No, I missed one, right? Mid. So right here in the mid, Christian will go through. And then the pre-wrath will say, well, you have the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. The bowls really are the bad, you know, times. And so the last trump you will hear, that's when it says it's time to get raptured. And then the post-trib. So here's the post-trib. You got the church age, tribulation, and the rapture. When that happens, okay, sometimes we look at this as a bouncing ball, right, or U-turn. Because they get raptured, Christ comes, and they come with Christ and go back down. But when we look at some of the texts, I believe the post-trib has a lot more, or say less problem than some of the other views, right? So you say, are you post-trib? Don't tell Pastor Warren. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll soon find out. So what happens in the meeting? I can see this now. This church will now be post-trib and pre-trib. Some in the middle. What happens in the meeting? 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive, including Paul. So Paul expected it in his lifetime. And remain shall be caught up together. That's the word, caught up. Okay, together, that's the rapture. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. In post-trib view, meeting will be similar to Matthew 25:6 and Acts 28:15. It is a strong argument because it's a parable of the second coming where the virgins are ready and some are not. That we rise to meet the Lord in the air and then welcome him on earth as king. So it would make sense. You meet the Lord in the air like a dignitary, welcome him and bring him and in a celebration on the millennium. People will meet the dignitary and then accompany him back to place from which they came out. The post-trib rapture then is the greeting of the coming king. So it's not a U-turn. It's greeting the coming king and coming down with the king to start his kingdom. So that's post-trib. You look at Matthew 26. That parable is a very strong indication. So what's the problem in the meeting? We have all these verses that talks about meeting, but in all these passages, the context clearly has an idea of meeting, but not meeting and return. So the way we answer this is really the post-trib view. It doesn't really necessarily give us the return. So even if the meeting includes the return, it still works with pre-trib. Do we return back with the Lord? Yes, we do. We will. We will return back, but not immediately. So in context, we will still return with the Lord. Church saints do not remain in heaven forever. They return with him. So it's not really a strong argument against pre-tribulation. But post-trib will say the church saint meets the Lord in the air and return with him. We say, yeah, the church saint meets the Lord in the air, the rest of the story, and return with him. So we have the same. It is in the rest of the story. So is it a problem? Yes. So when will that happen, right? Exactly. So those are some of the things that we see that. Yeah. So I'm over time right now. Give me a couple of minutes if you may. So what's in the context? So post-tribulation and meeting and return shows people who voluntarily go out to meet the dignitary. That's not the context. The context is not voluntary meeting the Lord and going back. The point of the text is we meet the Lord in the air. Christians are raptured, are not voluntary. You cannot volunteer to get raptured, right? And it is a miracle, and it is sudden. So, once we meet the Lord in the air, that's the point of what Paul was saying, okay? I would say, comfort one another with this. We will ever be with the Lord. So, I'm not going to read all these 2 Thessalonians. There's another argument here about the rest. I think this is also a strong argument on post-tribulation, because the text clearly says there is a judgment and there is a rest. I'm just going through this. It's very clear on their text. They said there's persecution. Christ will come. And what is the marker is the judgment. He will judge the Thessalonians persecutors. And so then he will say, give you rest. In our pre-trib, when will our rest be? Right, will be a 7 years before the millennium. The rest is millennium. So they were saying, hey, you don't have the rest that it's talking about, because in your view, you have 7 years before you actually get the rest. But if you read the context, it really clearly says that there is judgment when the Lord comes and there is rest. In our view, we don't have that because we still have that 7 year tribulation before the rest. Here it's clear, on the same day you have the rest, persecution of the judgment of the prosecutors or persecutors of Thessalonians. Questions? I think, Captain, are you going to say something? I know we're out of time. But here again, now what's your view on rapture again? Reminder, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. So just hold on. Take a look at that. So Matthew 13, but blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Don't let these things you heard come out the other ear. All right? So we'll pray. We'll pray and begin. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. That's BB. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You have the mic so I can give it to Pastor Kowak, please.